Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, everybody. I am your host, Lauren Strink, a.k.a. Sparky Lee, founder of Legacy Programs and founder of Legacy Programs Education and Reentry. I am back to host my Sunday show at 3:30 with guests that have been affected by the injustices and now are fighting back through awareness. Most importantly, families still suffering effects of injustice with surviving family members. Today we will be having a guest, Jerome Eubanks. He just wrote a book recently called Guilty Till Proven Innocent, When a Woman Cries Rape. Very good book. I recommend anybody, if they want to go check it out on Amazon, please purchase it. All 100% of the proceeds will be being donated for awareness and for our cause. Oh, and at this time, I'd like to sit here and take a moment of silence, not just for the ones incarcerated and still doing the time, but also, most importantly, the family members that are doing the time with them. So welcome, everybody. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Sunday. Like I said, we will... Jerome should be coming on today and see what he has going on. Recently, one of our projects that I've been working on is getting the formerly incarcerated, the men and women that are actually succeeding out here, you know, thriving in not just life, but work, personal life, and advocacy. There's a lot of us that are doing what I'm doing, and I just want to give them the recognition and most importantly, just give people an opportunity to speak their story, to gain healing, insight, and bring awareness to everybody else out there and just give some type of education into the system that is kind of a dark hole. There's a lot going on in the system that people are not aware of. And unless you have a direct family member or a close friend, you're not going to know what goes on behind those walls. And the facade that the government and society paints, the picture, it sounds good. It really does, but it's really not. And so what we like to do is we don't sit here and I'm not pointing fingers at the prison system or even the injustice system, you know, the justice system or what's going on. I'm here to point out what can be fixed in a productive and respectful way. We want to work with the system, not against it. So to sit here and be like, well, this is what they're doing. This, you know, they're against us. Well, there's good and bad in everything. There's good cops, bad cops. There's good criminals, bad criminals. And there's our loved ones that are good and bad. So you can't sit there and bunch everybody up because we're kind of doing the same thing that they do to us. And so I try to prevent that as much as I can. By just saying, hey, this is, you know, Legacy, we work with the system. We want to assist into keeping people out. We're not sitting here trying to say it's us against you. We're not drawing that line in the sand. We are embracing change together, and the times are changing. So if my guest does not show up, this will not be a long show today, but I do want to give a huge shout out to the GRIP Institute, Guiding Rage and the Power. They have a reentry. It's a GRIP alumni, and anyone that's taken the group, we have like the circle of love once a month, and we just meet up and we talk about the struggles of reentry. We talk about our emotional intelligence of how are we really feeling out here. And I was at GRIP this last meeting, and I'm gonna put it quite frank, we're fucked up. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in our heads, and for a minute, and I say that to say because at first I thought it was just me. You know, as much as I want to sit here and alienate myself from society and say I'm different and I don't fit in, you know, a lot of us don't. But there are a few that can and do very well in just going back into society. But for a lot of us that did, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years, we're pretty fucked right now mentally. and emotionally. And we're learning how to do all this stuff. Right now, time management's my thing I'm learning. How do you manage personal time, family time, and work at the same time when you're at work more time than you are at home? And so, you know, we're all working on something different. That's my message. And there's not, you know, it's not, there's no good or bad in it. It's just, it is what it is. So, huge shout out though for the GRIP program, what they're establishing. It's kind of like a mentor program. It really is helping. And yeah, it's a couple, you know, an hour, 2 hours sometimes, but it's very productive. And being able to be in a room, even virtually on Zoom, with other brothers that I've done time with and brothers that have done time in the same scenario, it brings comfort to the and reassurance that, you know, I'm not as screwed up as I think I am. It's just, it's a process, and we have to respect the process and reentry. So the system is not forgiving. You know, one thing I'm learning is, you know, how many people have done some stuff where they don't have a criminal record or a C file or something following them around with documenting everything they ever done. You know, it's real easy for society to sit out here and say, hey, you know, you're a criminal. We're going to label you. We're going to box you in. You know, you're less than. But, I mean, how many people have criminal history and that it's not documented and that your whole past isn't used against you? So for us coming out that have extensive history, you know, in gangs, criminality, and just antisocial behavior, you know, this is something that we're dealing with. It's like a monkey on our back. It's that chip on our shoulder. It's something we have to work through. And, you know, all my stuff, you could punch my name in and all my stuff comes up. So, you know, but normally people, they don't have that. So that they have their skeletons in their closet. They have their past. And let me, don't get it twisted. Like, some people can grow up in the same neighborhood that I've grown up in, growing up with the same neglect and same family issues, and still come out successful and never go to prison. I made that choice and decision to go to prison. I made that choice decision to have that extensive history and to be used against me. And I take full responsibility. But, you know, at some point, when does society say, hey, you've done your time, you did the crime, you did the time, now it's time to move on. Let's get something new going. Welcome to your new life. There is no new life. There is no second chance. The chance that we get is the chance that we create. Is the only opportunity we get out here to strive and to be successful is what the work we put into it. You know, how hard are you going to work to stay free? How dedicated are you going to be to be successful? You know, we speak these things into existence. This is what I want. But I can tell you this, everything that I planned for reentry, though I've accomplished everything I said I wanted to do within a year, nothing that I prepared for reentry was true. Not once have I written a check, but yet they really emphasize on writing checks in there and balancing the checkbook. Everything's online now. So, you know, those relapse prevention plans, those are kind of out the window. You know, when you're stuck in real life and you're going through some real life shit, you're not, there's no relapse prevention plan. You just do it. Just be successful, be clean and sober, you know, do what you got to do. But it's crazy how they set you up. They give you these expectations of what the world's going to be like. And I don't even think they have a clue. I think they work so hard and so long and in offices, and they're not really in real life situations. I don't know. But I can tell you this, everything that reentry's ever planned me for or so-called prepared me for is absolutely false. And so that's one thing that I enjoy about working with the brothers and sisters that have done time and that are returning back into society is that, you know, I have realistic reentry goals. I have realistic reentry issues, and we don't set our people up for failure. We set them up for success by giving them just how it is. And so, and we will be getting into, I definitely want to emphasize on the Welcome Home project that our wonderful secretary has put together and is the heartbeat behind. And so, Christine, do we have any updates on that project?
Yeah, so we're getting donations, and it's going to be sent directly to you. And that way I have a list as well as I get donations as well. So that way we can put them together. And once we have a list of who is coming out, we can get it to them. And then also a bus pass for the month, so that way they can get around to the meetings or to whatever they need to, wherever they need to get to.
Nice. And the Albertson thing's working out good?
Sorry. Yes, it is, actually. So anybody who's in need in your area, any other places, they're able to donate food to those who are in need. So I did get a couple emails, and I've already emailed them back yesterday. So we should be getting those out to them as soon as possible.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for all you do. I have not been in contact this week. I've been working my ass off. But I did get another promotion, so that's good. And I'm, man, I could tell you something about, you know, for the brothers and sisters coming home, don't worry about a job. There's so many jobs out here, nobody wants to work. Yes, and I think that's one of the success tools that I've used. I got it from David Morgenstern, and he's been on several shows. He normally does. He's out of Florida, and he's a formerly incarcerated as well, and he's head of NAFJAR, and that man told me when I got out, you know, the key to success is in this life is to do the job that nobody wants to do. And, you know, I bid on a job at work that nobody else wanted. Everyone said I was crazy for doing it. You know, you're walking 20, 25 miles a day. It's constant. Your hands are constantly sore. Your feet are constantly sore. The muscle aches, the back aches, it's very, very physical work. And when you're working, you know, 12 to 13, 14, 15 hours a day, and you're doing this, and you show up on time every single day. In fact, I show up 6 minutes early every day. I've the latest I've showed up to work is 4:25 in the morning. So, and a lot of that is, and I say this to say, you know, a lot of my work, all my work ethic comes from prison. I worked meaningless jobs in the kitchen for 8 cents an hour. I worked on yard crew for free. I worked in plant ops doing AC units after I went to school for it in there. I got educated, and I was making 50 cents an hour. And the money that I make now in a week, I don't think I've ever made that in any of my jobs the whole time I've been in prison. So, you know, but like my mentor Smokey, you know, all the stuff that he taught me in prison and how to work and how to be aware and, you know, to key in on success is been beneficial out here to pay attention, you know, safety, timely matter, you know, say what you mean, we mean what you say. There's things that I was taught in prison that has catapulted me into where I'm at today. And so, you know, so for the ones that are watching your loved ones go through the system, there's lessons to be learned in there. You know, we come out with a work ethic. We come out here with a respect level. We come out here with just appreciation. And, you know, when I'm at work and I'm getting paid a certain amount, less than everyone else around me, but, you know, and I don't complain about it, I'm grateful. And then slowly but surely I'm moving up. And so it just takes a lot of hard work, patience, and dedication. You know, we kind of speak these things into existence. You know, when I said, 6 months ago on my on my and let me tell you this. So everyone in the prison system that I know, especially at the couple prisons that I'm at, I was at, and I communicate very on a weekly basis with, you know, everyone thinks I'm a success in there. And I keep telling them, you know, I went through four jobs. This is my fourth job within eight months, something like that. So if you do the math, you know, I was fired before Thanksgiving, my son's birthday. I was fired before Christmas, or I was let go. You know, I was like all these time trials and things that I've had to go through to get to where I'm at. But the whole time I sat there and I was like, you know, I want a career job. I want something with a 401. I want something with benefits. I want a career. I don't want a dead-end job baking and washing dishes. I don't want a dead-end job at construction, running around lumber and gophering for everybody. You know, because that's pretty – anyone that's worked in construction knows that when you first get there, you're pretty much doing the grunt work. You're not, you know, though I was helping with multi-million dollar homes and stuff like that, I was, you know, hey, go get this. Hey, go get that. And that was my job. So, you know, to get to where I'm at, it took a lot of failing. It took a lot of, you know, and I don't really consider it failing in my sense, but it was more so, it was a process, you know, to get to where I'm at. And, you know, each one of those jobs taught me something. Each one of those jobs, I made plenty of mistakes. Especially my construction job, but those mistakes or those bad choices and decisions, I should say, and that process is really shaped of where I'm at today, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. And so I got a good job now. I work, I come home, I barely have time to get on my Xbox anymore, but it's well worth it. But I tell the guys in there all the time that I'm not really, you know, my success comes from my failure as well. And so when you fail out here, don't get hard on yourself. Don't get frustrated. Don't be impatient. Have grace for yourself. Have forgiveness. It's going to happen. There's going to be things. I mean, when I lost my jobs, I was in a bad place, you know. I remember my baking job, I was crying in my car after work, you know, because how frustrated I was. I remember when I lost my jobs, how many days I laid in bed, not even get up to shower, and that is not like me. So I went through my process, you know, but I got back up on my feet, and that's one thing that I've learned is that when you fall down, make sure you fall on your back. You know, that way you could look up still. And so that's just my rant and rave about, you know, everyone thinks that I did so well out here. But there's been so many times I've fallen on my face and gotten back up to keep doing what I'm doing. And, you know, though I would like eventually to be in advocacy 100% of my time, this is what pays my bills. This is what I have to do in order to do what I want to do, because, you know, it's just what it is. But there comes with, you know, another thing about reentry is financial freedom. You know, I remember when I first got out, I was very dependent on everybody. I was at everybody, you know, I didn't have my freedom. I didn't have my individuality. And so with a job and making my own money and I got my own car now and I'm doing these things, I have a freedom about my life that I'm able to provide and to stand up as a man and, you know, pretty much do what makes me happy. So, but not forgetting, you know, all the people that helped me in times of, you know, I have a lot of stuff that's been donated to me, my computer, my file cabinet, my chair. I mean, it pretty much everything in my office was donated. My keyboard, my mouse, you know, I've had a lot of stuff donated to me. So, very appreciative to the people that reached out and decided to donate to the organization and to help, because without my keyboard, without my computer, it would be a lot harder to do what I do. Without my file cabinet, I couldn't keep the files of the clients and the projects going on right now. So very appreciative of that, and the people that took kindness and just really cared about me. So thank you. Any comments or questions? We have a couple callers on right now. So also check out the Cards for the Incarcerated, please. The importance of having the outside resource, that support network is very vital for our men and women behind those walls. Preparing them with a support network is key. That support network is just as good as the AA or an NA meeting. And it's probably not shooting down that program at all. It's very successful and great. But, I think a support network is probably the most important thing when it comes to reentry. That support network is going to prevent you from relapsing, from falling into a hole that you can't get out of. So let me see if I got my guest yet. Okay, I do not see him. So.
Also, just to put it out there, I'm putting up something on the website where you can put your loved ones who are coming out, so that way we can get them that I can't even think right now, that for the project for coming home, that way we can get you all the stuff that you need. So it's going to be up there tomorrow, so that way you can put your loved one on the list so we can get it sent out to you.
Oh, that sounds great. That's very important. And I don't know what's going on with my computer today, but I cannot for the life of me figure it out. So having issues with logging on, so I had to use my phone. So is it less choppy than normal or the same?
It's really good. It's crystal clear.
Okay.
Your brother says your computer sucks.
yeah, it does. So I do. I'm confused. I'm technology impaired, so.
That is true.
No, he called me. I'm pretty good at computers.
Okay. Well, I mean, and plus I'm a clicking whore, so I like to click random buttons and see what happens. So.
That is true.
Yeah, that's.
Can we repeat that?
He's a clicking whore.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that. It's, but for some reason the audio is not coming through the computer, and I don't know why. So, instead of trying to figure it out, I just sit there and just call in.
Also, congratulations on your promotion. We're very proud of
you. Thank you very much. Yeah, a lot of hard work. So, that's one of the things, like the work ethic that people have out here is not what I know of in there. It's not at all on the same level, and that's not taken away from anybody out here, but it's, there's a dedication, there's an appreciation that people don't have out here. People are complaining they're only making $20 an hour. Shoot, $20 an hour, I'm grateful. That's huge for me, especially coming from 8 cents, and the most I made in prison was 50 cents an hour. So, and then what's the progress on the 501 status?
Almost done. And then you'll be complete. You have a date and time, so I'll give you that another time, because I'm actually getting ready to go out.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you're gonna be all set, and I have the month and date. It's somewhere here, And we'll be able to have more opportunities for a legacy.
Nice. And we do have, so just to be clear, we do have a 501 status number or 501 number from that we're under an umbrella of another organization that I run. So we have, you know, for anyone wanting to donate and for anyone wanting to connect, you know, let me know, because we have that tax write-off. So, and then how's schooling and everything going?
It's going good. I'm working on my midterm right now. So, you know, work and school is a little hectic, but I'm dealing with it.
So how do you deal with time management?
You know what? It was really hard for me in the beginning. But now it's a little bit more easier. I actually plan my day ahead of time. So like yesterday I knew what I was going to do for today. And that was, you know, basically work on some paperwork for your brother and obviously eat, and breathe. And then work on my midterm. So I just basically do it like, I just plan out my priorities that I need to have to get done. And sometimes I'll write it down to where I can see it, sometimes on a calendar, sometimes a paper that's just like right in front of me. And then I just make it as like a checklist, like, okay, I did this for like, you know, 5 minutes. At least I worked on it. You know, it doesn't need to be done until like next month. Or, you know, that's just how my brain works with time management.
Okay. Well, I think that's an important thing because, you know, dealing with reentry, I think that's one of my biggest downfalls is that normally if someone, like, for instance, somebody's like, hey, I need a letter written for a board. And I wrote a letter, but it took me weeks to do when finally I, you know, I'm learning that just to sit down is I got a plan just to sit down and have nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to take into account how tired I am, how worn out, you know, additional phone calls or whatever. And so stuff like that, where it's just the point to sit down. I got to plan out, but the letter only took me 10 minutes to write. So mm-hmm. I don't understand. You know, time management, I really could do better, and I'm working on it. I remember when I got out that I sat there and I gave myself, what was it, 90 days for reentry or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
It was like 3 or 4 months. It's
mm-hmm.
taken over a year and I'm still behind. So the joys of
that,
huh?
Well, you're not behind. You're just, you know, it's... Like I always tell you, Rome wasn't built in a day. So, you know, it takes time, and, you know, you just got to realize what comes first. You know, if you need money to feed your family, then obviously you're going to put in time for work. And if you want to help those who are in need, you put time in for that as well. You know, I find myself falling asleep half the time. like sitting up because I'm just so tired because I'm trying to do everything I can, but you also have to make time for yourself. So, and that's a really good key important for yourself.
Yeah. I usually get on the Xbox and play Rocket League or Call of Duty. That's usually my me time, you know, something about video games where you could zone out and, you know, I mean, lately it's been, I usually just play on the weekends now.
Yeah.
By the time I get home at, you know, at five at night. So, which hopefully, you know, with this new position, I'll be able to, my hours will change, but it just means I'll go in later and come home later. So that's always good too, I guess. I don't know. There's one thing that, I'm learning is that, you know, appreciation of time. An hour didn't mean anything to me out here. 60 minutes. I mean, shoot, let me tell you how important 60 minutes is. I wake up at 3 o'clock every morning. I'm hurting so bad from the previous day or from the week, depending on what day, that it takes me about 20 minutes just to get out of bed. You know, I got to wait for the ibuprofen to kick in. I got to wait for my hands to quit cramping up, my feet to quit throbbing. And, you know, that's after a night's rest. And so after that, you know, 20, 30 minutes of laying there and trying to prepare myself for the day, you know, I got enough time to drink my cup of coffee. I got enough time to spend with my wife and, you know, talk about our day or what we're going to do, what we got planned. And I got to go, you know, 10 minutes, warm up my car because it snows up here and it's cold as hell. So, you know, and then by the time I leave at 4, you know, it's 60 minutes went in 10 minutes. It pretty much feels like. So the appreciation of time, you know, what does 60 minutes of your life mean? And what do you accomplish in 60 minutes? If you had 1 hour to accomplish something, you know, how, and only 1 hour, how fast did that time go? And so, and sometimes just laying in bed for an extra 10 minutes is really nice. just to, you know, like I say, wait for the ibuprofen to kick in, the mental preparedness for the day of what you're facing at work. And so, you know, but, you know, one thing, there's no perfect job out here. Some people, if you could find one, but I think I had this expectation of finding the perfect job and wanting to, you know, certain hours, I wanted certain pay, I wanted a certain position. So far, out of all my jobs, I've never had four for four. You know, I've had waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning sucks. coming home at 5 is horrible. You know, your whole day is gone. You got no time, you know, and I got phone calls to make for clients and people that contact me, and I got to do it during my lunch, you know. And let me tell you something, if an hour means that much to me, imagine what 30 minutes of lunchtime means, you know. So to sit on hold for 5 minutes and have a 10-minute conversation, I got to wolf down my sandwich, you know, that and drink my drink and eat my bag of chips and stuff like that, you know, in 15 minutes.
I hear you all the time chomping.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that it's you got to learn how to multitask really fast.
Yeah.
So there's no perfect job out there. If you're thinking you're going to come out here and make a bunch of money and you're going to have the job you want, hell no. You're going to be disgruntled. You're going to be pissed off. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to think that you should be making more. You're going to think that, and don't get me started on the, everything comes down to, it's because I was an inmate. You know, these guys treat me like I'm an inmate. That always comes out of my mouth. And so I'm learning how to challenge that belief. And, you know, because in CBT, we always talk about beliefs, manners, and habits. Well, you know, if I have this belief that the whole world's against me, my mannerisms are going to change. My mannerisms are going to be very distant, are going to be very aggressive and combative. But, and then eventually that turns into a habit. And then that's, it's not just the world, but it's my, it bleeds into my family, my friends, my personal life, where that belief gets instilled into my head, where I can't realize where the root cause is from. So I say that to say, let everybody know, the brothers and sisters that are coming home, the world is not against you. Nobody cares that you're formally incarcerated. Do what you do. And for the people that sit there and want to judge and ridicule and not give you that second chance or give you the opportunity, forget them. You know, I think that I was thinking about the other day, biggest motivators in my life, you know, my wife, my family, my friends, you know, the people behind me, yeah, they're big motivators. But the biggest motivators, the keys, are the haters. When I got out, a lot of my family thought I was coming back to prison. Well, granted that I've never given them, anything to go on other than me going back every so many months. This is the longest I've ever stayed out since, 9 years old. So, I never gave anybody any evidence to go on, but my family, a lot of my family was expecting me to go back to prison. All my friends thought I was coming back to prison. And when my motivation was proving them wrong. The sweetest revenge is not whacking somebody, is not offing them in the most horrible way. The sweetest revenge is success. That is the secret. When you get a throw in their face that your life is better and that they did nothing to contribute to your success, that all they did was push, that is true revenge. And so there's a lot there. I have very toxic family, and I had very toxic friends, and I got rid of all the toxic, everyone toxic in my life. The only people I have in my life are good people. And so, but those haters, they will motivate you to move mountains, which goes to the metaphor that God sits there and says you can move mountains. You're not going to physically move a mountain, but you're going to do the impossible. And so that's just to say that, you can do it. This reentry is difficult. The whole lot of mental, emotional stress and mental challenges, but you know what? You can do it, and you're going to. You just got to sit there and accept that hatred and that judgment and prove them wrong, to show them that your life is actually worth something and that their perception is not your reality. What they think has nothing to do with what you're going to do. And so, don't let the negativity overrun your life, but put it in the rear view and move forward. And look back and don't sit there and be stuck in the past, but let the past be a reference of where you're going in the future. I always tell people when they're like, oh, this is so unbearable, I'm never going to get through this, I don't know what to do. Well, I'm sure there's one point in your life where you were frustrated, where you were hopeless, helpless, and just disabled, and you got through it. And here you are, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, living your life. Because in life, things pop up like that on a regular basis. If it's not one thing, it's another around here. It's crazy. It's like home improvements. If something breaks down, something else breaks down right afterwards. Just when you get enough time to breathe and enjoy what you just fixed, there's something else to fix. That's how life is. We don't get to pick and choose how things play out. As the GRIT program has taught me through their curriculum back in the day, was the three types of business: my business, your business, and God's business. There's a lot of stuff out here that I can't control, and it's none of my business. I just have to kind of trust the process and go through and control what I eat, how many hours I sleep, and what actions I take next. I can't control anybody else. I can't tell people how to act. I can only control how I react. And so I got to let people be people, and yeah, people want to sit there and ridicule, and they could say whatever they want about me. But the thing is that that's their business. So I got to value them as a human being before I could value their opinion. And sometimes you just have to have a short memory. That's one thing at work that they're teaching me is, short memory. And what I mean by that is I drop bins of wood and stuff, and I have to keep in, there's a certain order that you have to drop them, and there's a certain way to drop them. And so when I'm having to drop bin number 8, 9, and 10, and then go to 45 and then 73 and then back to 2, I have to forget about the ones I just dropped and focus on the ones I'm going to drop. So it's a stupid metaphor, I guess. It is what it is. But that's just how it is. It's you got to have a short memory out here. You got to keep moving forward. And, you know, a lot of the lifestyles that we've grown up with have been real shitty. And I'm not taking away from the people that have grown up and gotten out and been successful without prison or the same choice and decisions that I've made. But, you know, for the people that feel that you have no choice, you are not a product of your environment. Yeah, I may instill certain things in your life that develop into traits and habits and behaviors, but the thing is that we are not victims. We are victors. And eventually we all get out and we all move on and do what we're supposed to do, and there's success in that. So congratulate yourself on what you're doing and how well you're doing. You know, I have a saying that, you know, that's gangster. My whole life I wanted to be a gangster. That was how I lived my life. And I thought I was at one point. I really did. You know, I thought a rap sheet was cool. I thought certain crimes were cool, where I was like, well, I have this 211. I have this burglary. I have this. Nah, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you what's gangster. Taking care of your family, paying the bills. What's gangster is following the laws and being free and driving your own car, listening to your own music. That's gangster. You know, being about the community. So there's a whole new definition for that word for me. And so, you know, thought I'd share that. I know it's kind of random and stupid, but I actually like it. But now, you know, I think I said something the other day to my wife, which I was like, you know, I'm just a little hood, but, and she's like, no, you're not, you're not anymore. And I always wanted to think that I could resort back to who I was, you know, just little things. You know, how I want to react when people talk to me, or how I feel disrespected, which I can't stand that word. But the thing is that today, who I am today, you know, my actions give evidence to that. And it contributes to those titles of father, husband, pastor, CEO, and advocate, you know. And so I have to keep those things in mind when I think I could go back to just tidbits of who I used to be. And those things have greatly shaped my life and my views. You know, there's some stuff going on today that we have to revisit the drawing board sometimes and just figure out where we're going to go next. And my plans for this next year, we're going to take legacy to a whole nother level. But in fact, this is my plan. And, you know, this is recorded. So, you know, in a year, I'm going to say that I'm not going to be working where I'm working, that I'm going to be a full-time advocate, and I'm going to be getting paid for it where I can pay my bills. That is my goal. And I'm going to speak into existence. So I want everybody out there to speak something into existence. Set a goal. One thing I've learned is that you cannot have a goal without a system, and you cannot have a system without a goal. That's just how it works. You got to know what you're doing in order to set that goal. And you got to set a goal in order to do that system. That it just doesn't work one without the other. So I hope that was some type of benefit to somebody out there that was going, well, I got a goal to, you know, I want to be a millionaire at some point. Well, the likelihood of you being a millionaire is less than more. So, but you could be successful. You could, you know, but your freedom is what's key. And appreciate your freedom. Appreciate the air that we breathe and the food we get to eat. You know, I don't have to buy a list of stuff anymore of refried beans and rice and preserved sausages. I could go out and grab an actual meal whenever I want. I could go get a soda instead of drinking a soda once a month. I could drink soda whenever I want. And that's life. That's living, where you could wake up at 2 a.m. and eat a bowl of ice cream. I mean, that's grand. I think that's one of the best things ever, you know. Or you could sit there and have ice cream with ranch Doritos and a bunch of other stuff and just have a smorgasbord in the middle of the night. That's pretty tight. So, all right, y'all. But that's going to end my show. My guest did not show up today, but hopefully next week we will have him on. Once again, Jerome Eubanks, guilty till proven innocent when a woman cries rape. He's an exonerated, formerly incarcerated. He did some time, and he's helping whoever he can, and he's a huge success out here. And so go get his book on Amazon. Also, if you want to make any donations to Legacy Programs Education Reentry, go to legacyprograms.net. Check out our projects, which is the Welcome Home Project, where we provide clothes, hygiene, and bus passes for people that are coming home. We will send them to your loved one. Sign them up. Get a hold of the CB Legacy Programs, right? Is that the email?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I got it right. So cblegacyprograms@gmail.com. Sign your loved one up for a care package. Sign them up for a bus pass, whatever we can do to help. And just remember, you're not alone. And check out, you know, our Legacy Each One Teach One on Facebook, as well as Legacy Programs on Facebook. You could check me out, Sparky Lee, on Facebook as well. And, like I say, if we can't provide a service, we will find somebody that can. And currently I'm helping one guy I did time with, helping him find a program. You know, and that's the problem, is that now we're having issues where they want him to parole to a certain spot, but he has plans to go somewhere else, and he has all the resources there, and they're going to release him homeless. So we got to get him some services. So right now we're in talks with a few other organizations down south in central California to see what we can do for him. So, yeah, you are not alone, though. I mean, we're all in this fight together. 1 in 6 family members experience mass incarceration. Just remember that. So, everybody, be kind, be loving, leave people, place, things better than you find them. And congratulations on the happiness that you have achieved. Focus on that. Do not let the negativity overshadow your success. Do not let the frustration overshadow the happiness. And do not let unforgiveness overshadow forgiveness for yourself and others. Y'all stay blessed. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your Sunday. Bye, y'all.
Bye, bro.
Bye.
There. It's a Sunday.